Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Kamma in the 10th parak. We're looking at Mishnah Hey, or at least the first part of Mishnah Hey, Adaf Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Bet. Hagozel Sadeh Mechavero, Untalua Misikin. So a fellow stole land from somebody, which means he somehow got somebody's land and misappropriated it, and Misikin, which means some form of a strong band of guerrillas, whatever, of thieves, took it from him. Im makat medinahi, if it's something that affected the whole area, omer lo ashechal fanacha. He can cut, the gazlan can come up to the original owner and say, yeah, there's your land, go take it, good luck. All right, that's if it is something that was common to the whole area. Im machmat hagazlan, if on the other hand, the misikin took the land from this gazlan because of the gazlan, then chayav lamid lo sadeh acher. Then he has to provide a new field because they only took the land because of this gazlan. Okay, let's see. First of all, there's a language issue. Is it misikin, or in some of the versions of the oral tradition, it was mitzikin? Nachman Yitzchak mandatani misikin lo mishtabish, mandatani mitzikin lo mishtabish. Whether the version of the Mishnah of misikin or mitzikin are both correct and valid. Mandatani mitzikin lo mishtabish, tichtiv, in the Tochan Kitavo, it says matzor uv matzok. So matzok is compared to a matzor, a siege, those who are besieging. Mandatani misikin lo mishtavish tichtiv yaresh hatzlatzal, that they will be disinherited by them. Umitar gamina nichsanina saka'a. So this tzlatzal is translated into Aramaic as saka'a, so misikin with a samech is also a valid word for those who take or misappropriate. Okay, we said imachmara gazlan chayav. Question is, hechidami, what is the circumstance where it's Mahmar HaGazlan? If it was only this particular land that they took and not any other land, then that's something that we already get from the Resha. HaMiresha Shamat Mina, Im Makat Medinahi. In other words, the Resha already says, if this was a Makat Medina, which means it affected everybody, then what's the conclusion that I reach? That then he's potter. So if it's not makat medina, he has to pay. Ilolo. So lo tzrich da ach ve'achvuye. And this is bringing us into the discussion of a very thorny topic, and that is moser. The gazlan, what he did is he pointed out the land to these misikin and said, oh, there's some land over there that other fellow owns. You can go seize it. And that's why he's liable. That's what machmat hagazlan here means. Now, Leishna Achrina, we have another version of that. Hachmaeskinan gondan sua akum. Va'amrile achvea da'arate. That non-Jews came and they forced his hand under duress. They said, point out his land. Va'achvea hu bahadayu. And he pointed out that guy's land that he had stolen among the other stuff. So he's liable for it. Okay, ahu gavra. Now we're going to hear a number of stories about Moser. Ahu gavra da'achve arkarya d'chiti d'veresh galuta. He pointed out some of the holdings of the Resh Galuta, some of his produce. Atal kam Rav Nachman. And then this guy was brought to Rav Nachman, of course, was the Resh Galuta's son-in-law. Chiver Rav Nachman and Shlomo. Rav Nachman said the guy's got to pay. Yatar Yosef Achorei Rav Huna Bar Rechia. So now we come into the Beit Midrash of Rav Nachman. We have, shall we say, three rows here. There's Rav Nachman teaching. In front of him is Rav Huna Bar Rechia. And Rav Yosef is in back. Yatar Rav Huna Bar Rechia coming to Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Huna Bar Rechia Rav Nachman. So the Talmud said to Rav Nachman, Dina Oknasa, when you're saying that this fellow has to pay for pointing out the Resh Galuta stuff to these marauders and they took it, is this Din or a Knas? Amarle Manitini. He said it's a Mishnah. Nani Machmana Gazlan Chayav Lamido Sadev Ukimna Vachak Ve'Avuye. It's our Mishnah, which we say is talking about a case where he points it out. So Bata Dunafak, after Rav Nachman went out, Amar Rav Yosef to Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Rav Yosef turned to Rav Huna Bar Chiya and said, why do you ask the question? My nafkalach minei odin idina ikasa. Why do you care if it was din or knas? Amar Lei, he answered as follows, idina gamrinin minei. Because if it's a din, then you can extrapolate from it and apply it to other cases. Iknasa lo gamrinin minei. But knas is sui generis and you cannot apply it to other cases. So now Rav Yosef turns around and says, "Umanat taimer to the Knas lo gamrin." And how do you know that you can't learn from Knas? And he says, "Here's how I know." Detanya barishona yomrim hametameh v'amanasech. This takes us to the Mishnah in Gittin, where among issues of Tikkun HaOlam, they talk about hezek sheino nikar, damage which is intangible. So the three damages that we talk about are if somebody has taharot and you're metame them, they don't look physically different. If somebody has wine and you're menasechet, or somebody has chulin and you mix some truma in it, so it makes it meduma. In all those cases, you have to pay. Now, there are two brightot which give different versions of the history of the knas. One version says that originally they said hametamei v'hamenaseich chazru lamar af hamedamea. Chazru in lo chazru lo. So you see that it's only because they legislated a third knas or a third ruling that it worked. But if they not legislated it, we could not extrapolate. My tam alav mishum de knasahu. Isn't it because we all know it's a knas? And the reason that without explicit legislation we would not apply it is because you cannot apply a knas. The answer of Yosef Ge was lo. Meikara savri left said merubachashu. What happened in development was originally they thought we should only be concerned about great loss. After all, metame and menasech, everything is lost. In the end, they decided that even a small loss has to be accounted for. So in other words, the history of that knas was that it started out with a total loss, and then you're in the knas, even if you cause a partial loss to the guy's stuff, al-yidei dimua. So in other words, Rav Yosef is defending the idea that knas may still be something that could be a model and can be extrapolated from, and you cannot disprove it from the breita that gives the backup to the three knasot. Eini v'atani avuad Rabbi Avin, we have a different version. Rishonai yomrim ha-metameh v'ha-medameh. That originally the knas was metame and medamea, chazru lamar afa menaseich, chazru in lo chazru lo. So you see, it's only because they legislated explicitly. My time alav mishum de lo gamrinami knas. Again, isn't it because you can't learn from knas? He said, no. There again, there's a way to explain the sequence. It'll have different. The sequence of the knas. In other words, why was menaseich left out? Because menaseich is as severe as the others, because it's as severe as metame, total loss to the wine. Meikara savri k'rabi avin, uvasof savri k'rabi yomriya. What does that mean? Meikara savri k'rabi avin. Originally, they thought, in accord with Rabbi Avin, that you would not be liable for menasech because you're chayav mitah for menasech, and kom lebedrav minei. Te'am Rabbi Avin, zarak chetz mitchilat arba vasof arba v'kara shirai mehalichato patur. Shakirat zorach hanachahi. Now, by the way, Rabbi Avin isn't rejected. They just thought that Rabbi Avin's ruling about Shabbat, I'll get to it in a minute, would be applicable to Yain Nesach. What was Rabbi Avin's ruling about Shabbat? If you threw an arrow exactly for a moat and on the way it destroyed something, it tore some fancy clothes, you're patur, because any part of the process, the picking up the arrow and shooting it, is part of the hanacha, so therefore the entire thing is considered part of the carrying, and you're chayav mitah for that entire act, and therefore, kom le b'rab minei. So that's why they thought menasech wouldn't be included because of that. Ulevasof savik Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the end they concluded like Rabbi Yirmiyah, meaning that Rabbi Avin's ruling about Shabbat, which we all accept, would not be applicable to nayanesach. Why? Rabbi Yirmiyah mish'ah tagba'a kanye. You already are koned the yayin the minute you pick it up. Lutzorach avodazara. Yichayev le mamon. At that point, you're chayev mamon to the guy whose wine it is. Mitchayev anafshal aviyad shat nisuch. It's only when you libate the wine, you pour it on the idolatrous altar, that you're chayev mitah. And therefore, it doesn't happen at the same time or with the same action. And therefore, we put the knas in. So again, it's not because a knas is not modelable and cannot be used as a model to others, but it's because there was a reason to think that the knas wouldn't apply to Yayin Nesach because of a local Yayin Nesach problem. Okay, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, now the same student, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Ikal Avei of Yoni, Ata Lekame de Rava. He came to Rava. Amar Le, Kluma Seba Liadcha. Did you have any interesting halachot happen here? Amar Le, yeah, Yisrael Shansu Ovde Kochavim Varamon Chavero Baliadi. I had a situation where a Jew was forced by non-Jews to pay some money, and he pointed out somebody else's holdings, somebody else's assets, and when he came, brought to me, I made him pay back. Amarle Ahadar Uvdalamari, he said, no, you now have to pay him. You judged wrongly. Tatan Yisrael Shansu of the Kochavim Ramamon Chavero Patur. Natamanatan Bayar Chayav. The Breita is, that Breita teaches that if a Yisrael is forced by non-Jews, and he points out somebody else's money, and that's how he saves his life, he's patur. But if he went and handled the money himself, then he's chayav. Amar Rabba is a writer. Im harami atzmon nakasavan atan biyadami. If he volunteers the information, then it's like he handed it over. But if the guy says, I know that one of you guys has the money here, you better point out and tell us where it is, and you say it's in that guy's basement, then you're patur under that duress. All right, so he said that Rav had ruled wrongly. Hahu gavra dansu of the kochavim. So there was a guy who was put under the threat. V'achve achmarad rav mari beredu rav pinchas beredu rav chista. So he pointed out this guy's donkey. Amarle, dari v'amte bahadan. So they told him, you come and schlep it with us. You told the Jew, you come and bring it. Dari v'amte bahadayu. So he did so. Atakim Ravashi, who was brought before Ravashi, Patrina Ravashi was put to him. Malura Abana Ravashi, so the students then said to Ravashi, we said that if you're forced, so if you point it out, that's one thing, but if you carry the item yourself, then you're Chayav. So Marley, Hani Mili, Hechadalo Ukme Alave Meikara, that's only if the guy doesn't have it first. But if the guy has it first, and you're just helping carrying, Mikla Kali, you're just lightening the load. In other words, he already has it. He's just using you as his porter. Here's a challenge. Amarlo anas hoshet li pkia amir ze o eshkol anavim ze. If a strong-arm guy says, hand that thing over to me, v'hoshit lo chayav, then he's chayav. So you see that even though he already has access to it, and he already sees and identifies which one it is, if you hand it over, you're chayav. So the answer he gave is, hacham askin, go in the kai betray evinara. We're talking about a case where you're on the other side of the river. You could see it from the fact that it says hoshit, hand it over as opposed to give, meaning you're passing it over. In other words, without you handing it over, he wouldn't get it. And you could run away. You have other ways to do it. The fact you hand it over, you're chayav, it's like nasamanatan bayad. Okay, ahu shuta, ahavu mansi ala betray. There was a fish net that two guys were fighting over. Hayam ardidihu, vayam ardidihu. Each guy said it was his. Azachad minayun umasra lefarhan gadimalka. One of them then gave it to the government. So Amar ba yechol Amar ana kimasri didi masri. The guy can claim it was mine. I gave it to the government. Since when does he have such power to do that to something that's under contest? We throw the guy in chayrim. Ademaiti le v'kai bedina. Until he gets it back, and we go to din and decide whose it is. This is a long story that starts with Moser and is going to take us in a very interesting direction. There was a fellow who wanted to point out somebody else's tevin. In other words, he was under some sort of threat, and he wanted to point it out, didn't know what to do. Ata lekame de Rav, he came to Rav, amar le lo tachve v'lo tachve. Evidently, the guy was shopping for a psak, because he came to Rav, and Rav said, you're not allowed to point it out. Amar le machvina machvina, I'm going to point it out. So why'd he come to Rav? Unclear. Yati Rav Kahana came to Rav. Rav Kahana was a student of Rav, and he was in front of him. He saw that this guy was being so chatsuf and telling Rav, I'm not going to listen to you. Shamte lekuye mine. He hit him in his neck. He hit him so hard he killed him. Kari Rav Alei. So Rav then recited the pasuk as a reference to what happened. Banecha ufu shachvu barosh kol chutzot. Your kids have fainted and they're lying out in the street. Ketom michmar. Like an animal in a trap. Just like an animal, when he gets caught in the trap, there's no rachmanis on him. Same thing with the Jewish money. If it falls into the hands of the heathens, there's no way to ever get it back. That was what he was saying about this particular issue of Moser. Now, Amarle Rav. So Rav said, Kahana, ad ha'in havu parsoi de lo kapti ashvichu tamim. There's an issue with the girsa here. So after a little background. During the 3rd century, there was an important change in the sovereignty of Babel. Until then, there had been the Parthians, who had a particular, a little bit more of an easy approach as far as to us. It's much more complex than that. But in the 3rd century, the Sasanians came in and made things much more difficult. Miki ati chavri le Babel, etc., And that affects what's going to happen in this court. Rav said to Rav Kahana, Ad ha'inavo parsoi, which may be the proper girsa, until now was the Parthians, to lokapti ashvichu tamim. And what it must mean here is they weren't makpid if we, in our own courts, ended up executing somebody, then they left us alone. Hashta ika yavnoi, which may be some sort of a cognomen or a nickname for the Sasanians, to kapto ashvichu tamim. They are concerned if we do such things. then they're going to say, oh, these Jews are killers. Or they're going to say maybe they're starting a rebellion or something. In other words, they would not allow us to do this. You're going to be in big trouble. Kum sak la'arit Yisrael. Get out of here. Go to Eretz Yisrael. But the kabel alach to lotik shil Rabbi Yochanan shevashnin. You have to be makabel on yourself because he knew that Rav Kana was very, very sharp. Rav had tremendous respect for his colleague, Rabbi Yochanan. He said, you have to be makabel on yourself that you will not challenge Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years. So yeah, that's where obviously we're going to go. You're going to go to the Beit Midrash in Tveria. Don't challenge him. Azel ashkechel Rav Shlokish to yate v'kamasai metif to diyom l'rabbanon. So Rav Kahana got to Tveria. He found that Rav Shlokish was finishing up the review of the day's studies. Amar lehu Rav Shlokish heicha. So Rav Kahana said, where's Rav Shlokish? Amar le amai. They said, what do you want to know? Amar lehu haikushai kushai teruka hapiruka. He immediately, without having been there, said, oh, this is a question on what you learned today. This is a question on what you learned today. Here's some answers. Amrulah Rish Lakish. They told Rish Lakish about what happened. He said, Rish Lakish, a guy came in and he knew all about today's shiur and he asked great questions, etc. Az Rish Lakish, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish went to his brother-in-law and Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan and he said, Ari Alami Bavel. A great lion has come from Bavel. In other words, a great student. Le'ayin Marba Metif to the Machar. You better get ready for tomorrow. So tomorrow you're on your game. Because this guy will ask you good questions. Lamachar otvua bedara kama. An important note, in the Batei Midrash, in Eretz Yisrael, they had 7 rows. So they put him in the front row, kama to Rabbi Yochanan, right in front of Rabbi Yochanan. But remember, Rav Kahana had accepted restriction of not challenging Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years. Amar shmata velo akshi. Rabbi Yochanan said halacha, he didn't ask a question. Shmata velo akshi, again. Anchate achore sheva dari. They moved him back and back and back, ad otva bedara vatra, until he was in the last row. Amr Biyochan said Rish Lakish, Arisha Martana Sashual. The line you talked about is a fox. In other words, I don't hear any questions. Amr Yehe Rava Dahani Sheva Dari Lahavu Chiluf Sheva Shnin Da Amr Li Rav. So Rav Kahana said to himself, Yehiratzon, that the 7 rows I was put back should take the place of the 7 years I was supposed to wait. My time is over. I'm going to ask questions. Kam Akare Amrle Nehadar Mar Bereisha. So Rav Kahana stood up and said, please review the lesson from the beginning. Amar shmata va'akshi. So Rav Yochanan said the halacha, and Rav Kahana asked a good question. Ogmen b'dara kama. He moved up to the front row. Amar shmata va'akshi. He kept asking questions. Rav Yochanan v'yati v'asheva bistriki. Rav Yochanan was sitting on 7 pillows. Shalfi le'chada bistrika mitute. Each time that he got challenged with a good challenge, they took 1 pillow out. Amar, as if to like humble himself. Amar shmata va'akshi le. Ad shalfi le'kulu bistriki mitute ad yati v'alara. He kept asking questions until finally he was sitting on the ground. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to see who it was, what this fellow looked like. The reason it was difficult was because Rabbi Yochanan gava savahave, he was an old man, his eyelids were very heavy, he couldn't see well. He wanted to see who this man was who was challenging him, who was so bright. Lift up my eyes so I can see him. They had some sort of a silver little tweezer or something to lift his eyes up. They lifted them. Chazed aparte sifate. He saw Rav Kahana who had a split lip. Savar achuch k'machayechpe. He thought that Rav Kahana was laughing at him. Chalash date. Rabbi Yochanan felt terrible, and as a result, this is confusing the Gemara, as a result of Rabbi Yochanan feeling so sad, Rav Kahana realized what had happened. V'nach nafshe. He passed away. Mamachar molu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanan. The next day Rabbi Yochanan told the Rabbanan, Chazitu l'bavloi hechi avid. You see what the Bavlim do? They send a guy over, he challenges me, and then he laughs at me. Amrule, darke hachi. They said, no, that's what he's like. That's what his face looks like. He wasn't laughing. He has a split lip. So Rabbi Yochanan felt terrible. Al legabe marate. He went into the cave where he was entombed. Chazam, tahave hadrule achna. He saw there was a snake that was in front of the cave and wouldn't let him in. Amarle, achna achna. Ptach pumech v'ykanes harav etzel talmid. He said, open up your mouth, meaning open up the mouth of the cave, get away from the mouth of the cave, and let the Rav visit his Talmud. V'lo patach, didn't work. He kanes chaver etzal chaver, let the colleague visit the colleague. V'lo patach. He kanes Talmud etzal harav. Rabbi Yochanan really had to lower himself. Let the student come visit his Rav. Patach le. He went in. Ba'a rachmi v'ukme. He davened to raise Rav Kahana. Amar le, ihave yadana d'darche d'mar hachilo chal shadati. Rav Yochanan said, had I known that that was what you looked like, I wouldn't have become upset. Hashta leitimar bahadan, so come back with me to the Beit Midrash. Amarle, imatzit lamibi rachmi dutulo shachiv nazilna. If you can daven that I'll never die again, I already died once, then I'll come with you. If not, then I won't come. But the hour passed, he was already up, so they came back. Tyre, he woke him up. Ukme shayle kosfek at the havile upashtinu niale. And so he asked every possible question they had, and Rav Kahana answered them all. And that is the background to the phrase, Hainu d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dilchon Amri o Dilchon hi. When Rabbi Yochanan would sometimes say, when he would send a message to Eretz Yisrael, he would say, Dilchon Amri, your guy says. That's a reference to Rav Kahana. Dilchon hi, or when he's talking to the Eretz Yisrael, they could say, he's one of theirs, meaning, I have the information from one of the Bavlim. That's always a reference to Rav Kahana, and always to this period, Rav Kahana was teaching Torah in a superior way in Rav Yochanan's Beit Midrash. Now we get to more stories of Mount Moser. A fellow pointed out this fancy jewel or garment of Rav Abba. Yatav Rav Aval, Rav Chanin, Rav Papa, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, this is in Eretz Yisrael. Yatav Rav Ila Gabay, Rav Ila was standing over them. Savru l'chiyuvei mihadit nan. They wanted to be mechayev the guy to pay because of the Mishnah that says, Danat adin zikat achayav chiyevet hazakai. This is about in Bechorot, that if a dayan judges improperly, not with impropriety, but he makes a mistake. The judgment is a valid judgment. And then the judge has to pay out of his own house, out of his own account, to make up for the lost money. So therefore you see that just words alone are mechayev you. So we think this guy pointing out where the item of Rabbi Abba was and then it getting seized, he should be chayev. But Rav, we already learned this, said, you're only chayv for Moser if you actually hand it over. Amrilei, so they said to the guy, Zil agab Shimon Yochim Rabbozim and Padat, go to that Beit Din. The Dayani Dina de Garmi, they accept the Dina de Garmi. They will rule on Dina de Garmi, which means that even causing financial loss, they'll find liability for. Azul Gabayo, he went to them, Chive Matnitin, they were Machayevim based on what? The Mishnah. It says, Imachmat Gazlan, Chayav Lamidlo Sadeacher, our Mishnah. Vokimna da Achvi Achvuye. When do we say that the Gazlan has to pay a field when it was seized? When he pointed out the field that he had stolen from the guy. Alright, so even just pointing it out in certain, and that was what they relied on to apply it even to Metaltalin. Hahu Gavar Dahavi Mafgid Le Kosa de Chaspa. There was a guy who was holding a silver cup as a pikadon for someone. Sliku ganavi ilave. Ganavim came to his house. Shakla yahavaluhu. He took it and he gave it to them to get them out of the house. Here, take this cup. Ata the kamedu rabba. He was brought before rabba. Patre. Rabba said, you're pater. But this guy is saving himself with somebody else's money. He has to pay. Ela am Ravashi chazinan. Ravashi said, here's how you judge it. E inish amidu. If the guy's a rich guy, they were coming to his house for his wealth. They came for him. And therefore, he was saving himself with this other guy's money. He's chayiv. Vilo, but if he's not a rich guy, they came because they knew about the cup. Then there's no way out, and he's potter. There was a guy who was entrusted with money collected for pidyon shvuyim. He was taken by ganavim. He gave them that pouch to get them gone. Atla came to Rabba again. They came to Rabba. New patri. Amalei Abai. Abai said, "Vamatzal atzvam mechaveru." Again, the guy is saving himself with somebody else's money. So Amalei in the chapidyon shvuyim gadol mizeh. What are you talking about? This is the best pidyon shvuyim you have. He was saving himself from being hurt by others with this money. That's what the money was for. Ho gaver daaktim vaasik chamer lemabra kame desliku inshiv mabra. All right. So this is the last case that we're going to see about Moser here. Not really Moser, but something similar. Is a fellow was about to get on the ferry, and he went on the ferry and put his donkey on the ferry before everybody else got on. Now they went out. Boilat buye. Suddenly it's going down. Ata ugavra malach le lechamer du gavra v'shadli l'nara v'tava. So a fellow came along and pushed the fellow's donkey off, and the donkey drowned. And evidently the rest of them made it over. Ata the kamei de rabba. So he went in for rabba. Patre rabba said, "You're potter. You're not chayiv to pay for the donkey." Amar le'abai v'amatzal atzvam man chaveruhu. But he was saving himself with somebody else's money. Again, Abai, the same challenge. Amrlei, he said, Haime ikar rodef ave. He says, no, this was already a situation of rodef. Who was rodef? Not the donkey, the donkey's owner. Because the donkey's owner, by putting the donkey up there, and then this is causing possible loss of life, is endangering everybody. Rabba Latame, and Rabba's being consistent. To Amar Rabba, Rodef Shaya Rodef Achar Chavero Lahargo. If a guy's chasing somebody else to kill him, Shiberata Kelim, and the guy who's running to kill him breaks things on the way, Bein Shal Nudaf, Bein Shal Kol Adam, whoever's Kelim he breaks, Patur. Why? Shavit Chayab Benafsho. After all, every step of the way he could be Chayab Mita. So therefore, he's Patur for any other damages because at every step he's Chayab Mita, just like Machteret. Vinirdaf, the guy, the prey, Shishiberata Kelim Shal Rodef, if he's running away and he breaks Kelim of the Rodef, Patur. Why? Shalei Monocha V'olav Migufo. Obviously, we don't want his money to be worth more than his life. Aval Shokol Adam Chayav. But if he, let's say, is running and he breaks down somebody's door in order to get in, he's chayav to pay for the door because you're not allowed to save yourself with somebody else's money. Which, by the way, was Abaye's challenge throughout, but in each case, Rabbi gave an explanation. But here's the one we want. For Odev Shai Odev Achar Odev Latzil. If you have now a third party, the prey, the predator, and the rescuer. The rescuer, Vishiber Kelim Ben Shal Dav Ben Shal Kol Adam, and he breaks any Kelim, Patur. Not because that's really the case, but as a precaution, because if you say that getting involved, and this is a contemporary problem consistently brought up in the courts about the Good Samaritan, etc., but if a fellow knows that by getting involved and trying to rescue somebody, I could end up with great financial liability, I'm not going to get involved. So therefore, if you are a rescuer and you get involved, then you are patur for any damages that you cause, whether they are of the prey or certainly of the predator or even of some innocent bystander, not lost to life or limb, but of property. You're patur for that as a way of making sure that people will be interested and not be pushed off from being a rescuer. Okay, now the next Mishnah is the second half of Mishnah Hay, and continues with the issue of the land. Remember, you stole land. Shtafa Nahar Omer Lo Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. If the river came and flooded the land that you stole, you could turn around to the guy and say, hey, here's your land that I stole, take it back. Tanu Rabbanan, HaGozel Sadeh Mechavero Shtafa Nahar Chayav Lamid Lo Sadeh Acher. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says that if you stole land from somebody and it got flooded, you have to give him another land. Chama Omri Momer Lo Shalcha Lefanecha. Chama, like our Mishnah, you just say, give back to him. My Kami Palgi, what's their machloket based on? It's based on interpretation of psukim. Let's take a look at the last two psukim on the page that are dealing with Asham Gzelot. Rabbi Elazar Darsh Ribuyu Umiyuti. Consistently we find that Rabbi Elazar takes the approach of Ribuyu Umiyut. When you find a general term and a specific term, the way he reads it is the general term is there expansively and the specific term is there just to exclude something. All right, so we'll read it. If he denies something to his fellow and he denies a debt, ribui, meaning anything you deny. The pikadon and all the examples, miet, that's one mute. Anything that a person would lie about, that's a ribui. Chazav riba. Riba, miet, riba. What's the rule? Riba hakol. He's included everything. Umay rabbi, what is he included? Rabbi kol mili, he's included everything. My miet, so he has to exclude one thing, there's a mute. Miet shtarot. So you're not chayav for gzeilav shtarot. Okay. Rabbanan darshi, you're chayav, but you're not chayav with all of the rules of Hashem gzeilot, etc. Rabbanan darshi klal uprati. Rabbanan darshin klal uprat instead. And klal uprat will be far less expansive. Because the prat then guides the klal. It's not just there to exclude one thing. It limits the klal to the terms of the prat. Mechichesh klal, pikadon prat, o mikol chazav chalal. What's the rule? All the things listed there in the examples, pikadon, gezel, etc., are all things that have inherent value and are movable goods. So karka is out because it's not metaltel. Yatsu avadim shukshula karkaot. Avadim, as we know from Vayikra Chafei, are compared to karka. Yatsu shtarot shavish metaltelin and gufon mamon. And it also excludes shtar, which is, even though it's metaltel, doesn't have an inherent value. Okay? So that's the machloket Rabbi Elazar and Chacham. Problem is, that would mean that Rabbi Elazar and Chacham should only disagree about karka. That Rabbi Elazar will say karka has all the din of gzelot, and therefore if it gets destroyed, you're chayiv mamon, etc. And Chacham will say no, and therefore he gets harish shalcha lefanecha. V'hadetanya gozel tapara ushtafanar chayivim v'parah de Rabbi Elazar v'chamim omim v'harish shalcha lefanecha. However, the same exact machlok, Rabbi Elazar Chacham, applies to a cow. If you stole a cow and it got drift off, taken off by a river, Chachamim say you could say, here's your cow. And according to the analysis we just had, that shouldn't be the case. It should only be true about karka. So, hatam maikam ipalgi, amra papa, hatam v'mayaskin and gon shigazal sademi chaviro, v'hayta para revutzabo. We're talking about a case where you stole land, and there was a cow on the land, ushtafanahar, and the land got flooded, and the cow went with it. And everybody just falls into place. They're following their own reasoning about karka. The para goes along with the karka. Okay, the next Mishnah, Vava, gozal chaviro, o shilvaimeno, o shifkidlo, be a yeshuv. Any of the, one of these three where you have a debt to pay back, gzela, or halva, a loan, or a pikodon, if it was, took place in the city, you can't return it to him out in the desert. Amanat latzeit bamidbar, but if it was on condition you go out into the desert, we'll see what that means, yachzilo bamidbar, then you may. Now, urminu, we have a challenge, milva mishtalamet b'chomakom, you're allowed to pay a loan back anywhere. Aveda pikodon mishtalamet b'chomakom, but not in a aveda or a pikodon. So, and you just said that a milv has to be paid back in where it was. What that means is you can come up to somebody anywhere who owes you money and say, I want my money back. That what it means. You can be toveya. But a pikadon, you can't go up to a shomer at a party and say, give me my pikadon. You go to his house. An aveda, same thing. You can't, you only go up to his house. The guy's doing a favor. He's watching something. A milv, on the other hand, you can come up and dun him for it anywhere. Amarat latzeit b'midbar, the end of the Mishnah said, if it was on condition, you go out to the midbar. So pshita, obviously, if I hold something for you on condition I return to the desert, obviously I can return to the desert. So lo tzricha, it's where it's contextual, circumstantial. It's contextual. Damar le have hai pikoron gabach ta'an l'midbar nafikna. If I say, you hold on to this, I'm going out to the desert. V'amar le'iu, and the other guy says, an l'midbar nami b'ayin l'mefek. You know what, I'm going to go out to the desert also. You know what? I might want to give it to you out there. And the guy says, okay. So, in other words, it's kind of understood from the fact that they're both going to be out there that that's where it may end up. Okay. The last Mishnah we'll look at today. Ha'omer l'chaviro gzalticha helvitani hifkadta etzli. If a fellow says to another, I owe you money. I owed you money. I stole from you, I borrowed from you, or you were mafkid to me. And I don't know if I return it to you. In other words, I know that I did incur a debt. I don't know if I paid it. Chayav l'shalem. Then you have to pay. Aval ima marlo eniyo demil zaltech mizalvitim ilvitani imfkata etzli patur mil shalem. But if he says, I don't know if I ever incurred the debt, then he's patur. Now, of course, we got to figure out in this Mishnah, is the claimant coming and making a claim, you owe me money, or is this fellow volunteering the information? Either way, it's going to be difficult. Itmar maneli biyadcha valomer eniyo dea. This is a famous discussion. If a guy comes up to another fellow and says, you owe me money, and the other guy says, I don't know, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri, Chayav, Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri, Patur. Right? So Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda in Bavel say you're Chayav, Rav Nachman in Bavel says you're Patur, Rav Yochanan says you're Patur. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri, Chayav, why? Bari v'shama, Bari Adif. After all, this guy has a claim, Bari, I'm sure that you owe me money. And the guy says, I don't know. So Bari v'shama, Bari always wins. The mamon stays with the chazaka until we can prove differently. One guy making a claim, you owe me money, is not a claim. So the other fellow say, I don't know, isn't enough to dislodge the money from its chazaka. Now let's test that. Tnan, avali mamar lo eni yodei milvitani patur, in our Mishnah, the second half, if the guy says, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you, then he's patur. Hey chidami, ilei medelo katav olei, are we talking about a case where the claimant didn't come up and sue him for the money, and claim the money? So reisha nami lo katav olei, so in the reisha, the guy didn't come and say, give me the money? So my chayav, why is he chayav to pay? In other words, if nobody came up and said, I want the money, and I come up to you and I say, you know what, I know that I borrowed money from you, I don't know if I paid it back, why should I be chayav to pay? Ela de katav olei, our mishnah must be a case where the guy's toveya. So imagine this, if the guy's toveya, and in the seifa, the guy responds and says, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. We say he's patur. Well, that seems to support the position here of Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan. Tani said patur in shalem. The answer is lo liolam de lo katav alei. Really, the Mishnah, everything in our Mishnah is talking about a case where there was no claim. So why is he chayav in the reisha? V'reisha b'bala tzeit de shamayim. The ratio, the guy wants to be a good guy. He says, look, I know the guy's not claiming it for me. He's a nice guy. He doesn't know about it. But I know that I borrowed money from him. I'm not sure if I paid him back. I want to be absolutely clean on the books. So he's, let's say, the day shemayim. And we now have a clear statement that Rabbi Yochanan himself said, so this supports why Rabbi Yochanan would explain our, and would say patur in that case, that in our Mishnah we're talking about a case where the guy's balad tzei de shamayim, and there was no tviyah, and that's why indeed here he would be patur. Rabbi Yochanan would say, of course, you're patur also if the guy says manel mi'elcha, and the other guy answers, ain't any yodea. We would keep the mamon mechezkat marei. Okay, we'll hold it off at this point. We'll do the final podcast of Bava Kamma in the next time. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.